You're listening to Met Radio 1280 AM CJTM, metradio.ca online. Local parents are ramping up the fight for Ontario and Ottawa to fulfill the promise of $10 a day childcare for families across the province. More than 50 parents and children gathered in a Toronto park Sunday, June 7th for a circle time and organizing picnic hosted by Parents for Childcare, a province-wide advocacy group uniting parents concerned about the lack of affordable, accessible childcare spaces.
It was amazing. It was fantastic. It is really difficult to get parents together. You know, we are juggling lots and lots of responsibilities on top of the full-time childcare that we have to do.
Oh, it's so good. We're so happy. I mean, I think we had, you know, about over 50 people attend with their kids. And it's just been so good to see people really interested in this issue. And, you know, we had fun together and we had very good conversations with a lot of the parents about the future of childcare.
5 years after the launch of Canada's national child care program, Ontario families are still paying an average of $19 a day, nearly double the fee that they were told would be in place by March 2026. A cap on fees is currently set at $22 a day. By the end of March, Canada was also expected to have created 284,000 new daycare spaces. That goal has also yet to be fulfilled. Ontario reports that as of June 2026, about 41,000 new early learning and childcare spaces have been created in the province, towards the goal of 86,000 new spaces by the end of the year. And when it comes to the workers that do the child caring, Ontario is short of them by 10,000. This gap is a contributing factor to lengthy wait lists. According to a report by Building Blocks for Childcare, licensed childcare centers are hiring and relying on underqualified workers. Through a Freedom of Information request, the nonprofit group learned that there had been a surge in the number of exemptions, which permitted centers to fill roles with non-registered early childhood educators. These are roles that typically require certification. In the 2022-23 year, the number of exemptions was 585. In 2024-25, it jumped up to just shy of 2,000. Statistics Canada reports workers make only slightly more than $24,000 a year on average. Approximately half of early childhood educators leave the field within the first 5 years. The Canadian Mental Health Association says that their work is grossly undervalued, as evidenced by stagnant wages and chronic underinvestment, and they say that the workers are grappling with a burnout crisis. According to a 2022 report by Canadian Women's Foundation, Canada's caring economy has been, quote, undermined by decades of neglect and privatization. This has, quote, compromised the rights and well-being of the workforce, unquote. Almost all workers are women and disproportionately racialized. Canada significantly relies on temporary foreign workers to fill gaps in the care sector. Experts like the UN and Amnesty International have found that the federally regulated temporary foreign worker program breeds modern forms of slavery. Ontario and Ottawa signed only a one-year extension of the child care agreement through March 2027, while most other provinces secured longer-term deals. Eight provinces and territories, apart from Ontario, are already delivering childcare for an average of $10 a day or less. Ontario's $19 a day average is only set to be maintained until the end of the agreement. While Canada's spring economic update included no new childcare funding, Jobs and Families Minister Patty Hajdu announced on June 19th that provinces and territories would be receiving an additional $5.4 billion over the next 2 years for the $10 a day program to help with, quote, cost pressures, unquote. In a subsequent press release, the Parents for Childcare Coalition continued to urge the Ontario government to contribute its share to the program and sign a new childcare agreement with Ottawa ahead of the March 2027 expiry. Apart from the promised $10 a day childcare program, parents in Ontario are continuing to fight for longer-term funding in the sector.
It is just, I mean, long-term sustainable funding is really important so that we know that this program is around for the long haul so that people can plan year to year what's going on. You know, the the last extension, we received notice of it like weeks before it was set to expire. And, you know, how can people live like that?
More public and nonprofit spaces as opposed to private ones.
I've seen parents go to the profit ones because simply they had no option. They had no choice.
Waitlist.
They were waitlist till like it's either me or my spouse doesn't go back to work, or we pay through the nose for a Montessori, for example, is one of the more expensive ones. And I'm like, kids shouldn't be for profit.
And better wages and improved working conditions for educators.
It seems like if you have better wages, you have benefits, you have some form of pension plan, then workers will stay longer. And so my child will have caring educators in his class who won't be changing frequently. And so that's important. That I think will help my child feel more secure and happy in the daycare.
Rajan Hoylett lives in the Davenport area and has a background in organizing in anti-racist and labor movements. He got involved with Parents for Child Care about a year ago, as parents who went to the same early on child center became aware of the group and keen to jump into advocacy.
I mean, for a lot of people, the cost of child care is the only thing that's gone down in this time of like skyrocketing inflation. And so a lot of people are just mostly really nervous about the uncertainty. I mean, $10 would be a huge lifeline for people, but even the $22 as it stands has been like a huge movement for people, and not knowing whether or not we're going to keep the $22 and see further reductions to $10 as promised has just left people feeling very anxious. It's hard to budget your life, especially, you know, if you have, like myself, have two kids in childcare. That's a significant part of your expenses every month. Outside of that, a lot of people that we've been talking to are like feeling the waitlist crisis. Lots of parents not even able to get a spot at a childcare center.
The subsidized childcare center that Hoylett's family was matched with didn't meet their needs, and they were forced to explore other, more expensive options.
The subsidized center that we ended up in wasn't one that fit our needs, and there was very few other options available to us. And so the daycare that we ended up for my oldest daughter is not subsidized. It's really expensive. And we're hoping to get a subsidized spot for my son. But a lot of people are in a very similar spot of not even being able to get their foot in the door somewhere. My wife couldn't go back to work as soon as she was able to because we couldn't get a spot. And I mean, this is an incredibly gendered issue. It is often women that already face, you know, that already face pay discrepancies, lack of opportunities that are then saddled with the responsibility of childcare and, you know, not being able to secure daycare and secure affordable daycare, has an outsized impact on women being able to re-enter the workforce.
Sarah McKyle is another Toronto parent with grassroots organizing experience who joined Parents for Child Care to help the group's efforts become more visible and drive more impact. She was in the process of applying for daycare for her child when she learned it was very challenging to secure a spot. She began organizing with Parents for Child Care last fall when she noticed a flyer about an upcoming event.
I think most parents don't know enough about what's happening at the government level in terms of funding child care. And when I talk to them about it, they're surprised. I think there's a lot of trust that the government's going to continue to fund child care. And I don't think people are aware that we don't have an agreement in place to keep funding childcare beyond March 2027.
I also spoke with Christopher DeMello, a parent from Hamilton, who got involved with the advocacy group when he realized Ontario was behind other provinces and territories in fully adopting a $10 a day childcare program. DeMello works for a school board and has been involved with multiple labor unions.
So it's been interesting because like everyone is like happy that it's, oh, it's cheap, that's awesome. Like beyond that, they don't actually think about it. But then when I tell them, by the way, like it's up March 2027, they're like, what? And a lot of them are in my boat where they're on their second or possibly third kid, where like, oh, that's going to financially affect our household. So when we had my son Vigo, he's three now, we were applying for daycares and we noticed like, oh wow, the price is a little cheaper than I originally thought it was, because my mom worked in childcare for the last like 30 plus years and I always knew it was like $1,500 to $2,000 a month. And I'm like, oh, it's cheaper. And then I looked into it, oh, this is because the federal government kickstarted the program and the provinces took it. And then I'm like, awesome. But then you start hearing about other provinces already had $10 a day and we didn't. Like, oh, why is that? And then you start reading more about it, and then Parents for Child Care was like, we're one of the few provinces that hasn't done the program fully, and the reasons why is there hasn't been commitment from the Ontario government, and the federal government, as far as I know now, hasn't really verbally committed to it under the Carney government, which is concerning because he has been daycare for another year. But my daughter, who's 6 months, will be starting probably by September, October.
Hoylett, Mikhail, and DeMello are concerned about for-profit daycare models in the sector. They believe child care should be a public good that benefits the community regardless of who can afford it.
I mean, when the motive is profit, then, you see that in the quality of care, and it is stark when you talk to parents that are in for-profit care. The kind of care that they're getting compared to people in public and not-for-profit spaces is dramatically different. We've seen for-profit centers, in the uncertainty of this program, decide to just cancel a $10 a day program, pushing a lot of parents out of those programs. So, and this should not be a for-profit service. This is a fundamental service that we need to be able to, take care of our families, to be able to run this economy. So it doesn't make sense for such a big for-profit footprint in the child care space.
Well, we know that when the government, the Liberal government and the Ontario government announced that they were going to publicly fund childcare, the for-profit operators didn't jump on that wagon fast enough. They waited longer than the nonprofits to actually offer lower fees for parents. So that's concerning, mm-hmm. that they weren't readily interested in being part of this program. And we also know from the research that nonprofit operators and service providers actually provide better quality care and are more invested in opening childcare centers in communities that are low income. So they're not just looking to make a profit where they think they can get more kids to enroll, but they're also looking to actually provide a community benefit to us all.
Maybe I'm biased because I do work for a school board, but like these are not like money-making enterprises. Like the fact is, if I provide you know, food and like shelter for kids to be in schools, means that they become good, productive members of society in the long run. Squeezing them down to a financial thing, they're kids. Like this is the one thing I hope no one has like a profit motive on. Like yes, people have to make money, have to keep the lights on, but like the discrepancy in prices and the way I see like my kids' daycare, which is subsidized, it's through like a childcare program called Wesley inside the Hamilton School Board. They have everything they need. The childcare workers, childcare workers do need to make more because I always feel like that's always been an underpaid industry. And I only know this because, again, my mom's experience and both my advocacy as a union person of knowing like these people pursue secondary education and are still making less money than a lot of other fields for it. Like, I don't know, it's just, don't you, you care, you pay an electrician to do work in your house well because you want it done, you want a licensed electrician to do it. Why wouldn't you apply that same logic to your children? Why do we have to pay the least for someone who literally is taking care of, like, my future? Like, everything of my life is meaningless compared to that.
They say governments shouldn't be cheaping out on workers' pay and that the long waitlist crisis is linked to the lack of fair wages for early childhood educators.
Yeah, I mean, there's 10,000 childcare workers short in the province of Ontario, which is why we are dealing with the waitlist crisis that we're dealing with. There are, physical spaces available that just don't have any educators. Mm-hmm. And that is because this is an extremely difficult job and doing this with low wages and precarious working conditions doesn't make sense.
All I know is from talking to parents that when they call daycares to ask about the, where they are on the wait list, they're number 300 or 400 or 200. Like, it's really a crisis. So, and I hope these spots open up more, opportunities for parents to put their child in daycare, but I'm not sure if it's going to be enough. It's really frustrating because it seems like they're pointing the finger at each other, and so we're caught in the middle. But we know that Ontario hasn't been paying its fair share from the start. the wait lists are just really long. And when I talk to daycare operators, they tell me that they have the capacity to have more daycares, to operate, you know, more of them in different neighborhoods, but they don't have enough staffing to do so. So really, it comes back also to fair wages for the workers.
From signing petitions to calling up MPs and MPPs, the Parents for Childcare movement is working to up the ante by increasing visibility and applying more public pressure.
I mean, we know that there is widespread support for this program, and so right now the movement is about making that support visible and to letting both levels of government know that it is going to hurt lots of parents and that these are people that care and will take action. And so, I mean, signing a petition is a very easy way to be able to get involved. But we know that it is going to take more than that. But signing a petition is hopefully how we start to make this movement visible, but also start to build a network of people that can take action. And that, you know, last March, when the extension of this program was up for debate, there was not nearly enough visibility. There was not nearly enough public pressure to hold both levels of government to their promise. And so we are rectifying that by starting to take action. And already hundreds of people have signed the petition across the province, maybe more than hundreds, maybe thousands. And so this is, this is the work that we're going to need to do to be able to save this program, to ensure that both levels of government know that we are watching and that they can't just sweep this under the rug.
Yeah, I think it's for people who aren't used to it, it could be daunting. But, you know, I think people are actually very interested in this issue, parents, because they're directly affected by it. They have a kid in childcare or they're looking for childcare and they want to make sure that they will get daycare eventually. And so how we approach it is to say, like, are you a parent? Do you want to make sure the future of childcare is secure? Then we need your help. And so we find people come and, you know, some people leave and take action, some people don't. But the point is that we've given people an opportunity to have a voice to do something about it. Yeah. So, you know, it's very scrappy, but we managed to get together and plan events. We are hoping to ramp it up in the fall, of the agreement is happening soon. And so we're hoping to have more larger events, more rallies, more advocacy. We're not sure yet exactly what we have in store for the fall, but we are definitely dedicated and committed to doing something.
I was a very active union member, both at the my QP local, my local, and provincially with OSBCU. That's Ontario Council of School Board Unions. Advocacy works. If everyone is constantly bothering their local politician, this is how you get things done. This is how you push them and like, oh, I'm hearing it from my people. I'm hearing it from them. So I told a lot of parents, like, you gotta write in. You gotta advocate. If you don't, they'll realize it's not that important to you, and it'll be done. It'll be done by March 2027. So it's just constantly telling them this is the advocacy route. If there was another group that was doing it, then I'd be like, hey, let's support them. But this is, it seems like in my eyes, the group that's fully supporting it. And it's not just the commitment to cheaper daycare, which is nice, because, but I'm good on that way because both my kids are in. It's people who don't have spots yet. It's lack of centers. And it really comes down to, like, everyone in any political level, even if you're not involved with the federal or provincial government, like from city councilors down to like local school board trustees, should be advocating for this, should be pushing the government to say, hey, this is super important for us. This is everything for everyone. I don't know, just constantly telling everyone, like, this is the path to push our government to hopefully make the right decision for not just us, but for people you'll never meet. And like, that's the point of having childcare. It's not like, oh, I want to benefit for myself, because right now I'm technically good based on what's going to happen. It's people beyond me that are going to be like, do we have a second kid? Do we have a third kid?
For Met Radio CJTM, I'm Kinza Zafar, with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.